Nick, has the injury to Dan Copen left you guys doing some research this afternoon, kind of on the fly, looking at what's available in the interior offensive line market?
Yeah, I would say today is no different than really any other day. I would say we do research, you know, all the way through the year, whether it's during the spring, through training camp, during the regular season. So our approach today is no different than it is any other week, and we're just going about business as usual.
What kind of market is there for interior offensive linemen? I mean, I know Sean O'Hara's out there, and he's got a ton of experience. Who else? What's the market like?
I mean, I think there's a lot of players at a variety of different positions that have a degree of experience that have played football. So we'll do what we always do. We'll evaluate every position relative to what's on our football team, and then we'll make a determination as to where we feel there's an opportunity for us to improve our team. And whatever way that manifests itself, then we'll consider it and go from there.
Nick, looking ahead here to this game on Sunday with the Chargers, I don't know how much you've gotten into it, but what do you see from this team in terms of where they'll present some of the stiffest challenges to you guys?
Defensively, this is it's a pretty disciplined group. We've got a lot of good football players, you know, at all three different levels, the front seven, the linebacking core. They signed to KO Spikes, the inside. Donald Butler didn't play last year. Along the defensive front or front seven, they signed Travis LeBoy, Antoine Barnes, who gave us some problems last year rushing a passer. They drafted Corey Legit, who looks like he's going to be a pretty good player for them. They sustained the injury there to Castillo the other day, but they've got a lot of depth in their secondary, you know, collectively as a group. Weddle's probably as good a weak safety that there is. Very smart, instinctive player, very aware, good ball skills, and Jammer's been a real productive player for their secondary here, basically since he's been a rookie. And then Kaysan's given them a lot of good snaps. So defensively, they certainly present a lot of problems. And offensively, they got a lot of weapons. They lost Sproles, but between Tolbert and Ryan Matthews in a running game and a passing game, for that matter, out of the backfield, they present some issues. And then Gates is as good a tight end there is in the league. And then they have a lot, and they've got a bunch of big receivers. Floyd had a lot of production for them last year. Jackson looks like that he's back at playing at a high level. So I think this is across the board. It's a good football team, and they're AJ and Coach Turner. They put together a solid group, and I mean, we're certainly going to have our hands full. I mean, this has been a consistent, high-performing team for a number of years now. So we're going to have to prepare on a short week and get ready to go out there and play our best game to date.
When this happens, when the schedule puts you guys a little bit behind, obviously you get back at, you know, 5 in the morning or whatever it is. What do you guys cut out?
We'll prepare the best we can to play that game, and whatever opportunity, whatever time we have to allocate, whatever that is, we're not going to cut any corners. We're going to do the best we can to make sure that we're the most prepared football team out there on Sunday. And, you know, we've got some work to do. We have a lot of catching up to do collectively as a coaching staff and a player's perspective. But when the players get here tomorrow, we'll hit the ground running, and we'll get ready to play on Sunday.
Hey, Nick, on the broader level, seeing your offense perform the way it did and execute the level it did, is that affirmation that you guys ran an efficient camp and did things the right way, given the challenges that are kind of unique to this year with the lockout and the lack of an off-season program and everything else?
Really, the whole goal of training camp is to lay your foundation as a team, and it's just day by day, brick by brick, you know, one practice at a time. So the players put a lot into it, the coaches put a lot into it, and it's all sort of geared towards that first week. Now that we have that behind us, now it's preparing for the next challenge that's in front of us, and that's San Diego. So, I mean, the players work hard, they're in here, they're committed, they show up, they put the time in, the coaches put the time in. So, I mean, that's the only way that you can do it, is to put the time in, invest the work, and get your team prepared to play. You know, we play once a week. I mean, it's not like some of these other sports where you play twice a week or three times a week. You have one opportunity to play on Sunday, and the goal is to maximize your performance on Sunday, and that's all we try to do.
Nick, can you talk a little bit about Matthew Slater's development? Obviously, the first couple of years there, he's primarily been a special teamer, and now it looks like he's getting snaps with the first team offense. Is he just a late bloomer in that respect?
I think since the day Matthew's been here, he's worked hard, and there's probably no more professional player out there than Matthew Slater. He shows up, he does his job, he puts the team first, he's attentive, and he's worked at his craft, and he's made himself into a better football player, and that's what we ask of any players, to come in each day, try to improve. There's plenty of opportunities to perform, improve your performance as a player, and Matt has taken advantage of his opportunities, whether it's in a kicking game and or offensively. So, I mean, it's a credit to Matthew and his work ethic and his approach, and really with the players electing him as a captain, I think that sort of speaks volumes as to what his teammates and fellow players think of him.
Nick, in your opinion, what is holding Brandon Spikes back just from being on that 46-man game day roster as he was an inactive for this season opener?
Right. I mean, really each week, I mean, it's a week-to-week proposition in terms of there's only X amount of players that you have available for the game. So, you know, we make the decisions that we feel are best for the team given the opponent, and that's what we do each week. So this week we'll see what happens. We'll go through practice. All the players will prepare, all 53 on the roster, and then the 8 on the practice squad or however many we have on the practice squad at the time. Everybody will prepare for the game, and then we'll make the decision that we feel is best for the team in terms of who's out there on Sunday.
Nick, is Brandon in optimal shape? Is he in good enough condition to play in a game?
I think he's like a lot of players. I mean, they're here, they're out there, they're performing, they're practicing, they're doing their best to try to put themselves in a position to play on Sunday. So he's like any other player that's on the roster. He's no different.
Nick, in terms of Dan Connolly and his background at the center position, I'm looking back in college at Southeast Missouri State. He was an offensive tackle. I know he's been an interior guy for you guys. How much work has he gotten at center, and what have you seen from him when he's had the work there?
Looks like you've been doing all your research, huh, Mike? You know, all those guys, really, to tell you the truth, all the offensive linemen, Dante really rotates those guys through multiple positions. I mean, everybody kind of takes snaps at every position, so everybody gets experience at practice, and then some get a little bit more experience in the games, whether that's in preseason or an actual game performance. Dan's a versatile player. He's smart. He can handle a number of different things, and I think with all our offensive linemen, I'd say those attributes are similar across the board. So, I mean, he's had experience for us. He's played center for us. He's done it in practice. So, you know, last night he just bumped over, and we just continue to move forward.
Nick, can you talk about Brian Waters and how he's done since coming here? It's been a little more than a week now.
Sure. Brian's an experienced guy. He's played a lot of football throughout his career. You know, he's come in here, and he's done what we asked, really, of all the players. He came in, he worked hard, he got himself ready to play in the game, and he was out there for a number of snaps last night. So I think the most important thing for him and any other player is to look at last night, make the corrections, and try to improve your performance and just continue to improve, whether it's your fundamental techniques, whether it's the understanding of the offense or whatever your role is going to be that particular game. And you know, Brian's a professional. He's played a lot of football, and you know, we're glad we have him here.
Nick, what was some of the initial thoughts on the first game with the new long snapper, Danny Aiken?
It looked like it went okay. I think the ball handling was okay. I mean, he made a coverage on the one of the punts. So, I mean, he did an okay job. I mean, I think he's got a long way to go as well. I mean, he's only been here for a week, so. I mean, the most important thing is just the consistency between those three players, those specialists. I mean, those guys are probably together more than anybody. So, I mean, they'll continue to work together. There's going to be some things that he hadn't seen that he's going to need to prepare for. So, you know, we'll see how he does this week against San Diego.
All right, everyone. Thank you very much. Thank you, Nick, for taking the time.
Thanks, Dave.